Prologue, 1949. Her father's head was in the toilet. It looked like coffee grounds splattered on the seat and all over the bathroom walls and floor. Natty had run in to brush her teeth before school and found her father bent over the toilet. The coffee grounds were a dark brown that made a pretty fan-like pattern along the pale pink wall tile. "Daddy, are you making coffee in the bathroom now?" asked Natty, leaning over him. Her mother appeared in the bathroom doorway. "Natty, call Johnny at the emergency room. Tell him to send an ambulance now," she commanded. "Grab Abby on your way, then go to school. We'll talk about this later." "Is Daddy okay? Daddy, are you okay?" asked Natty, starting to panic. Her mother only used that tone when the neighbors came for medical advice. Natty moved to the doorway, ready to do her mother's bidding. Natty could see the back of her father's faded gabardine pants and the bottoms of his worn wingtips as he knelt before the toilet. Natty looked a lot like him, large boned, dark enough to be mistaken for black, with jet black hair. As she went to the bedroom to grab her sister, Natty caught sight of the plaque out of the corner of her eye. It sat on the bookshelf in their tiny Brownsville living room. "Harry Leibowitz, ESQ, attorney at law," it said. It had been sitting there for as long as she could remember. Natty once asked her mother what an ESQ was and why it was next to her father's name, but her mother never answered. Natty was reluctant to ask her father about it. Maybe he'd tell her in his own time. She knew her father was an attorney, but she didn't think attorneys sat most of the day reading or looking out the living room window. Her father sat by the window in spring and summer, and by the lit fireplace in the fall and winter, if they could afford the wood. He didn't wear what she assumed an attorney at law would wear. She pictured a smoking jacket or a pinstripe suit with a crisp white handkerchief peeking out the left breast pocket. She got this idea from a movie she saw the last time she was in Cleveland. The men in the movie all wore suits with white handkerchiefs in their breast pockets and their hats slanted rakishly. Her father didn't wear suits or pocket handkerchiefs. He usually wore a bulky, tattered cardigan over one of his few open-collared shirts. It all seemed to be missing a button or two. Natty's mother, Rose, could sew a wound but not a button. She often said she didn't want to sew buttons. She was a professional nurse, not a maid. "Come on, Abby, we gotta go. Hurry up," Natty told her sister, who was putting the finishing touches on her outfit. She was standing before the mirror behind the door in their shared bedroom. "What's the hurry? We're not late," answered Abby, watching her own reflection. Black hair and brown eyes like Natty's looked back at her. "Something's wrong with Daddy. Mother said we have to call the hospital. Hurry up." "What's wrong with Daddy?" asked Abby, turning from the mirror to look at her. "I don't know, but he's vomiting and it looks like coffee. Stop asking questions and let's go." Abby was unpredictable, and Natty couldn't afford to worry about what might happen once she absorbed the news. Abby smirked, but picked up her books and followed Natty from the room and out the door of the two-family house. They went down to the corner store to see if they could use the phone there. They knew the number to the emergency room because their mother had made them memorize it so they could call her at work. It was a busy weekday morning. As they walked, Natty hoped there weren't a lot of people waiting to use the phone. "Mr. Mintz, we need to use the phone. Mother says it's an emergency," Natty blurted to the man behind the counter. "Hey, you'll have to wait. There's an emergency," said Mr. Mintz to the man on the phone. "When Rose Leibowitz says it's an emergency, then it's an emergency." Natty dialed the number and asked for Johnny. "I'm on my way," he said. Back at home, Rose yelled through the air shaft to Seal next door. "Seal, is Nathan home? I need his help. Can you spare him?" she called. "He is, Rose. I'll get him," replied Seal. There was no mistaking the urgency in Rose's voice. "Nathan, Rose needs you." Rose heard Nathan yell from somewhere deep in the other house. "Be right over, Rose." Rose helped Harry to stand, but he was wobbly. She quickly cleaned his forehead and face with a washcloth. She removed the cardigan and the shirt with the missing button and helped him rinse his mouth with water. Rose had just enough time to close the bathroom door behind them when Nathan rushed through the unlocked front door. Nathan nodded to Harry as he grabbed him under the arm Rose was not holding. Harry, very weak, dragged his feet as they half-dragged, half-carried him to the bed. There, Nathan arranged Harry with his head on the pillow and his legs stretched out on the length of the bed. He helped Rose remove Harry's trousers, socks, and shoes. She propped his head on an extra pillow and covered him with their homemade quilt. Natty hung up the phone and ushered Abby out the door towards school. As they passed their house, Natty saw Nathan from next door running in the front door. "Why is Nathan running?" she thought. She wanted to follow him, but her mother had told her to go to school. Nothing good can come from angering her mother during an emergency. Natty tried to calm her racing heart by thinking about pleasant things. She wished it was a normal morning or a Saturday afternoon when she could just sit on the big front porch. In the winter, she loved to lick the newly fallen snow off the porch railing. She liked their house, even if it seemed like they were always moving upstairs or downstairs, depending upon what the tenants wanted. She and Abby liked talking to their neighbors through the air shaft, an empty space that ran between their house and the house next door. The two living room windows faced the air shaft, which was narrow enough to pass small items from one living room to the other. Several two-family houses stood in a row. Theirs was light brown on the outside. As she and Abby walked along the largely unpaved streets, they passed the tenements where some of Natty's friends lived. Many of them had no bathrooms, heat, or running water, though in the summer they could climb up to the tar beach on the roof to eat or read while chatting with their neighbors. Natty's family was lucky to have a fan in summer, a furnace in winter, and running water. In the winter, her father went down to the cellar every morning at 5 to shovel coal into the furnace. She remembered during the Depression, before the war, when men down on their luck appeared at their cellar door seeking shelter and food. Her father, with barely a penny to his name, let them sit for a while by the furnace and gave them what bread could be spared. Rose knew what looked like coffee grounds to Natty were blood spots and that Harry was hemorrhaging under his skin and would need a transfusion. Once Harry was settled in the bed, Nathan went outside to direct the ambulance. He hadn't said a word, knowing there would be time for that later. Johnny drove the ambulance carrying Harry and the bloodstained quilt through the crowded streets to Brownsville Hospital. After the ambulance left, Rose, already dressed in her nurse's whites because she had been ready to leave for work, got into the front passenger seat of Nathan's car. She barely noticed the blood from Harry's mouth that had soaked into her white uniform skirt and stockings. It was a sweltering September morning. Nathan drove Rose through their Brownsville neighborhood. She hung out the passenger side window and yelled, "My husband needs blood right away. Please help us. Please donate blood," she shouted, for once oblivious to appearing unladylike and ordinary. She was in a panic, but in control. "They're taking him to Brownsville Hospital. Hurry." "What happened, Rose?" a couple of neighbors shouted back. They didn't stop to answer. Rose and Nathan drove around the neighborhood and onto adjacent streets. She shouted the same mantra over and over, desperate for help. After an hour, Rose, feeling an intense need to get to the hospital to see Harry, directed Nathan to head back home. Nathan waited while Rose changed her clothes, donning her only other uniform and white stockings. She did her best to clean off the spots of blood that were sprinkled on her shoes, like tiny tea roses. Nathan had a car because he was a traveling salesman. This was not the first time he'd used it to help Rose. He'd often driven her and their neighbors to the hospital when she decided it was an emergency, but her patient couldn't afford to pay for an ambulance. The two had helped many of their neighbors that way. It's lucky you were still home, Rose, said Nathan as he parked the truck in front of his house. He's hemorrhaging, Nathan. We're lucky you were home. I just hope the neighbors come through with blood donations. It's the least they can do for all the times you've helped them and sat with them all night long, said Nathan.